Okay, good morning, you fighting few. Let's begin with a word of prayer. And Mark, we understand. Got to kind of take it slow coming in now. And all I need to see you after class, so don't run off yet. Okay. All right. Let's begin with a word of prayer, orienting ourselves to where we are and why we're here. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we consider it a great privilege to assemble ourselves to worship you. Worship has always been part of man's relationship with you as the Creator. And throughout history, right up to this very hour, there is a great deal of false worship. Worship that does not worship you and the truth of who and what you are. Or worship not done in the power of your Spirit. Father, we just pray that all that we do this morning will be glorifying to you and to your Son by means of being in the power of your Spirit, but also by being in truth of who and what you are. We live in a time in our nation's history when the worship of you is diminishing. The exaltation of who and what you are is changing. Presidential candidates boast of how America is no longer a Christian nation. There's so many things that are happening so quickly in the world today. And so we just consider it a privilege to worship you in spirit and in the truth of who and what you are. Father, we pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. Okay, this morning we're going to be studying gossip and slanders. And so, Brian, I didn't see you come in. Let's sing at the back of your hymnals, Pharisees of High Esteem. Let Pharisees of High Esteem, 512, will be the Star Spangled Banner. And if you'll turn the page, you should have included, glued into your book, Let Pharisees of High Esteem. And if you don't, let me have those books that don't have it so we can get some of these things taken care of. Okay, let's sing all five verses. Okay, last Sunday we had a lot of fun with the young people coming through on their way back to Tulsa from Florida and some of our own. And now just back to our momentum. Talked to Dan this week and they made it all okay and had a wonderful time here as well as in Florida. So let's just continue to be in prayer for our young people and that things will continue to flourish as far as some kind of momentum that we can pick up with our young people. Let's talk about prayer. First of all, we need to be in prayer in regard to our own. Sharon heard from Nathan, and he said, "I love you, Mom," and she believes that stuff. You know, moms believe all that, and so he's doing well in the military, and he's learning to eat in 3 minutes. Yeah, that's good. You got to learn to do that. Sharon said, "He said I have to eat in 3 minutes," and I said, "Oh, I remember the first day I was back home from Germany. Mother prepared his great big meal. It was gone. Ah! What are you doing?" And so you got to relearn how to eat like human beings, and so because you never know how much time they're going to give you. So it's kind of like a dog, just boom. I don't think a dog ever tastes anything. I've seen dogs that just swallow right through. It goes from the mouth down. And that's about what you got to do in the military. So we'll continue to be in prayer for Nathan. Need to be in prayer for Tish as she continues to fight cancer. Edna, good to have you here with your knees. You're walking well? Good. But you can't jump rope yet, huh? All right. Well, we'll get you there. And let's see. Eve, how you doing, hon?
Well, I'm going to have surgery.
You're going to have surgery. Do you know when?
Not yet.
All right, well, you let us know when you get a date. All right, very good. So we'll be in prayer as you prepare and everything is prepared for the surgery. So we will be in prayer. Alicia, how's Alicia doing? So it's not going to be this month, but you're going to wait about 2 months. That's about like a family reunion. If you're going to get family involved, well, let's do it this the weekend. No, let's do it that. And okay, all right. So we'll just continue to be in prayer for her.
And my friend Ray is in prison.
Yes.
He may have had a heart attack yesterday. We don't know. So he was at a court appearance in Dallas yesterday, and then they had chest pains. So he's in the hospital right now.
One of the first things they ask you in regard to heart attack, what kind of stress are you under? And boy, he has been under a tremendous amount of stress. And if you don't know how to handle that, it'll directly affect the heart. So, wow. My goodness. Okay, well, we'll be in prayer. Right? Absolutely. And any other prayer requests? Yes.
Amber left today for Cancun with her friend for the first time by herself.
Yes, we need to be in prayer for Cancun and for Amber. Yes. When they leave today?
They just left us.
All right, okay. I'm just amazed that you did that. You're just
I didn't know about it.
Why are we going to the airport this morning? And why does my daughter have her suitcase in hand? Oh, yes, we will be in prayer for Amber. Absolutely. Just pray that everything goes safely and she has a good time. That'll be good. Yes, sir. Yes. How's he doing?
He went home
Friday. Okay. So the surgery went okay, and he's all right. So we'll continue to be in prayer for a recovery of Wes. And Vic Edwards is our member, listens to every lesson in Wichita Falls, Texas. So we need to be in prayer for he and Cindy, and then Wes, his son-in-law. So good. Any other prayer? Yes.
For my friend Pat and her family in Houston.
All right. Yes. Need to be in prayer for Pat. Any other prayer requests? Yes, sir.
Continue to pray for our oldest son, Seth. He may be moving out of the house soon, so just give him some direction.
Okay. All right, we'll be in prayer. That God will direct him. Absolutely. I've always said I would not want to be a young person today. There's just no way I would want to go back and be a teenager today. It's just atrocious. And parents thought when Jerry Lee Lewis came on the scene that all hell had broke loose. Boy, they only saw what was coming. And it came. And so we'll be in prayer. Absolutely. Yeah. Yes.
I'm gonna go to Phoenix Thursday and
I'll do what?
I'm gonna go to Phoenix Thursday and stay for a few days, so I don't like to fly, so y'all keep me in your prayers.
Doctor say you can go with your neither?
Okay.
I'm just trying to get your way out. If you didn't really want to go. Doc said I can't take my knees on the plane. Huh? Sits next to her, okay. That's your son-in-law. Okay. The Word of God declares, whatsoever man purposes in his soul to give, so let him give, not grudgingly nor of necessity, for God loveth a gracious giver. Gracious giver is defined as one who personally accepted Jesus Christ as Savior, but also one who knows how to give in the power of the Holy Spirit. Paul says, if I give everything to the poor so that I myself become poor, but do not have love, it profiteth nothing. So anytime that we do anything in a Christian life, including giving, we want to be in the power of the Holy Spirit. With these things in mind, let us prepare ourselves for the offertory by prayer. Heavenly Father, there are so many things happening rather quickly in our nation's history. But we still enjoy wonderful freedoms. We still enjoy the freedom to worship as we see fit. We still enjoy the freedom to live where we choose, to marry whom we choose, to attend the church of our choice. We do not take these freedoms lightly. We know that history is filled with nation after nation that did not allow this kind of privilege. And do not to this very day. Many places in the world they cannot worship openly and freely as they see fit. And yet we still can here. We know that in the days of the tribulation that this will not be a freedom known anywhere in the world. Anywhere in the world to worship as they see fit. So we value this freedom that we enjoy in America today. And we are most appreciative, Father, for the men and women who have provided this freedom from the very beginning. Our brave forefathers who gave their life and their children's lives and their homes that we might have this freedom. And then throughout the history of this nation to this very hour where many of our military personnel are in harm's way. We pray for them and their families. But Father, we cross this with the great freedom wherewith we have been set free through the person and work of Jesus Christ on the cross, the subsequent resurrection. For it is in this realm of freedom that we have eyes to see. They have a light to guide on where to live and whom to marry and where to go to church and why and what to do with our time and what to do with our money. And so, Father, we are appreciative beyond words for the person and work of Jesus Christ, our friend. And now, Father, we pray that you will receive the offerings that we're about to give, and that you will continue to use this humble assembly in the spreading of the gospel to both unbelievers and believers. Father, we pray these things in Christ's name. Amen.
once more before we begin our lesson, would you all turn with us to number 358, Psalm 358.
It's not hard to sing, but we have...
Okay, Romans chapter 1, please. Romans chapter 1. Gene Poulter, one of our tapers and listens on the internet and all and gets a disc, Hot Springs, emailed me and she said, well, when you started the book of Romans, I prayed that God would let me live till you finish the book. She said, now I'm just praying he'll let me live till you finish chapter 1. I told him I was tacky. I'm not apologizing. I'm just explaining. Even some of the better commentaries, when they get to this long list, they just make a sentence and go move on. And most people don't do anything with it. I can't do that. There's just... As we go through, gone through and seen so many things, we got so many great things left just in this small list of what Paul is drawing from. And it's no accident the choice of various characteristics that he includes in this list. And I just can't just read them and move on. And it's taken a little while to get through these last three or four verses. But I don't know any other way to do it. We've got to see what's going on. And so let's begin with the word of prayer. And the purpose of the prayer is to see if you're trusting His Spirit to open your eyes, your ears. And maybe you'd like to be in chapter 3 by now, but let's just pray that He'll open your eyes at these verses in chapter 1. Okay, let's close it. Let's begin in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the work of the Holy Spirit in so directing and inspiring Paul when he sat and wrote these things. Every word chosen by you, and by your Spirit given to him. I pray, Father, that we will grasp the meaning and the significance of each of these characteristics, not only in those who deny your existence, but as characteristic of us when we rebel against you and want to do our own way, have our own way. I pray your Spirit will open our eyes to these things this morning, Father, in Christ's name. Amen. Okay. Our list in Romans chapter 1, verse 29, being filled with, I know we're talking about the depraved mind of chapter, verse 28, being filled with all unrighteousness, wickedness, greed, malice, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, malice, and then we come to they are gossipers, or they gossip. And what we want to do is I want to take up both, because the next one, the first word in the next verse is slanderers. So let's take a look at the slanderers and the gossipers. Okay, what's the difference between slander and gossip? Now, I tried to get this on here, and I can't do it. I didn't one day, so I'm just going to... We're going to do it the old-fashioned way. I'm just going to teach you here. What's the difference between a one who gossips and one who slanders? They're put right next to each other. So what's the difference? Is the difference content? Is the difference motive? Is the difference technique? And think about what you would say if we talked about it. What would be the difference? Now, if we go to Webster, Webster says the difference is that it's content. A gossip will gossip about intimate personal things. Generally, they're true, is the idea with the word to gossip. Gossip also may not be with ill intent. It just wants to boast yourself. You may be a good friend of a couple, married couple. She's pregnant. They want to tell the parents. They want to tell, but you know, so you go tell. You run to friends and tell. Because you know something. You've been in such a personal relationship with them, they haven't even told their parents yet, but they told you, so you've got to go tell people. That's a gossip. However, it may be with ill intent also toward the other people. But what Webster does with slander, it's fraud. It's fraudulent information. And so that's the English. But I'm going to show you that's not true in the Greek. It's not content. The Greek word for gossip and slander, it's not the content. And neither is it the motive. The motive of the gossiper and the slanderer is to hurt, is to bring someone down, to put some doubt in them. And so the intent is not really different either. So we're going to find out what is the difference. But what is common? What is common with both of these, to gossip and to slander, is something that every one of us have, and that's a tongue. Tongue is the weapon. And it's an unbelievable weapon. It's an unbelievable weapon. Guess that's one of the differences between man and the lower animals. They don't really get to gossip about each other. And the tongue. The tongue is a knife that can cut deeply, a gun that can kill, a match that can set the forest on fire, as used by James in his book, his epistle, and how the tongue is, starts fires. The tongue can divide families, can divide marriages, it can divide friends, and split churches. And people take a little pride in that. Oh man, I broke that marriage up. I told her what was going on. I told him what was going on. I did this and did that. People, there's no power in being able to break and tear something down. Let me tell you where the real art is. Can you build up? Can you mend? Can you restore? Can you know, can you use the junk that you know and straighten things out? Can you use what you know instead of to tear down and split and divide a marriage, a home, friends, social, church, whatever it is, work? Can you use that information to mend? There's no, Satan's whole deal is to break down. That was right from the very beginning in the garden. He loves to break down. There's no glory in that. It doesn't justify what you've done. That you've ended a marriage, that you've ended a friendship, that you've ended the split of church, that you did this or that. There's no glory in that. We want to talk about glory. There's real glory when you can use that information and go to these people in private and work on mending things. So this is the tongue is the common element here. The tongue can hurt others. Tongue can cause distress. And everyone has a tongue. And unfortunately, everyone learns at a young age how they can get their way by lying. This is why it's so important for parents. It is so vital for parents. And yes, I speak as a bachelor, but I speak as one who knows the truth from this book. It's so important to be able to teach your children how to use their tongue. Why not lie? Because every child's going to learn. We all going to try lying. I mean, if that gets me out of a whipping, why not try? I didn't do it. Whether you're the only one here, well, I didn't do it. Of course, it's always good when you have siblings. It must have been my brother. Must have been my sister. Wasn't me. It's a wise parent that knows how to work through. Now, I'm not talking about beating them and all of that every time. It's an art in showing your children how to use that tongue and why not lie, what that does to your character, what that's going to do in the future with you and friends. It's not just that they lie to you as a parent. If they learn how to lie, they're not going to have very many friends. They're not going to have friends very long. People don't want to be around somebody who lies. We all lie, but when you've got an habitual liar, just always lying. And there are a lot of reasons why we lie. To get out of trouble, to conceal something, all these kinds of things. It's not our point. It's learning to control the tongue. Lashing out at the parent, lashing out at a friend, lashing out at a pet. Teach them how to talk. Because we learn very young, this tongue can do a lot of damage. It can get me out of trouble. It can get this done. So all these things can happen. We've got to learn how to use the tongue. And children hurt parents. And parents can hurt their children. Brothers can hurt sisters. Sisters hurt brothers. All with the tongue. Got to watch. One may just be catty, always putting down the other one. Got to listen for these things and not ignore it. Know how to correct them. Maybe even in private. Don't correct them in front of their sibling, but take them aside. Don't embarrass them. That causes resistance. And it justifies what the other sibling might do about it. Just take them aside and say, you know, your tongue is sharp. What you're doing to your sister, your brother, whatever. It's just so important to teach children how to use the tongue. And if this was a whole lesson on this, which it isn't, I would talk about teaching them how to be silent. When to be silent. When children do not speak. All these things are not being taught too much today, and I can tell it just by being in public places. Just not taught about manners. How to speak to an adult. How to speak to people. How to communicate. Learn to use the tongue to communicate your thoughts. How to express yourself without using profanity, without using slang expressions. Teach them to express themselves. So the tongue is a very powerful weapon indeed. Okay. Let's see if we can see a difference, find out a difference between gossip and slander from the Greek. Now the English Webster Dictionary, the gossip is one who tells things that they know, intimate things. That may be right, it may be true, it may not be, but it's generally true. And so that's just the idea, whereas a slander in the English generally means falsehood, fraudulent information, with the desire, intent to hurt. Okay, now let's deal with the Greek. Gossip. The King James is very close to the original. If you have the King James, it says whisperers. Whisperers is the root word of the root of this word. Now, to slander, the Greek word means to whisper. The Greek word means to speak in secret. Backbiter, that's the Greek. To whisper, that's a gossiper. One who whispers, speaks in secret. Just two or three together. Let me tell you something. Let me tell you something on the phone. And let me tell you what I've learned. And the difference in these two Greek words, gossip and slander, is not information. They both can be lies. They both can be true. They both can contain truth. But what we're going to see, it's the technique. The technique is the real difference in the Greek words between gossip and slanderer. To slander is to speak against. Slanderous, openly. This is openly done. Now, there are two kinds of people. Two different tactics, or two tactics from the same person. And I have to include that. I wanted to just say two different kind of people. But the gossiper may turn into the slanderer. So I have to include that. First of all, there is the person who speaks softly, quietly, whispers, just to one or two people about a third person. Just kind of get your ear. Maybe call you on the phone. Talk to you in the parking lot. At the water fountain. Whatever it may be. But just talks very quietly. Let me tell you what I know about this. Did you know da 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 da? This type of thing. The truth of the issue, whether what they say is true or not, is not the point. Of the difference in the words. Generally, it contains truth. Generally, it contains truth. But the point is, they just simply and subtly slander another person. They attack another person. Now, the Greek word really doesn't deal with the illustration that I gave, where your intent is not hurt or harm, it's just to boast yourself, so you like to go tell people what you know. Oh, let me tell you, they're going to have a baby. Oh, really? See, you didn't let them tell it. So you just got to do it to make yourself look good. You didn't think of them. So I just use that as a silly illustration of how you might know something, and they don't want it known right now. It's not bad that they're pregnant, going to have a child. It's not bad. Just that they would like to have told people. But no, your little tongue, combined with your arrogance and self-centeredness, you had to tell. You didn't think about them. You just you thought you could do something. But the Greek doesn't really deal with that so much as it deals with negative intent to hurt the other person. Okay, to whisper against them is the concept behind the Greek. They go from one person to another at work, at church, at a party, friendship, circles, and quietly run down another believer. Running them down, accusing, casting doubt on them about the other person, and generally telling information. And again, it may be true, it may not be true. Whether it's true or not doesn't mean that you're justified in being a gossiper or a slanderer. Just because what you're saying is true does not justify it. It's still gossip, and gossip is a sin. It's still slander. Slander is a sin. Then there's the person who is more openly about their slander of another. They will run the other person down in a group wherever anyone will listen. So the key here is just don't listen. Now, what is really interesting is when the whisper turns into the open slander, and this happens a lot. He starts off quiet whispers, but he finds out he's got some listeners. People are listening. In fact, not only are they listening, they're passing it on. So now he can make it more bold. He can be more bold. He can make a more frontal assault to destroy another believer whom he's jealous of, whatever the case may be, whatever motivation, the mental attitude sin motivation is. So the issue with these two words has nothing to do with truth. Even what is said in their whisper and slander is true. Truth does not justify the category of a sin. Let me just put up on the board for you Ephesians 4:12. For it is disgraceful, disgraceful, even to speak of the things which are done by them in secret. So whether or not what you know is true or not doesn't justify you being a gossiper or a slanderer. It's disgraceful. And I always like to encourage you, when you do find out information, maybe you didn't even want to find it out, but now you do know it. Now you have a decision. What am I going to do with this information? Am I going to use this information to mend? Am I going to use this information to help? Or am I going to use this information to continue to bring down and hurt? You have to decide. Am I going to use this information simply in prayer and prayer alone? I shall use this between God and me in my prayer life? Or do you have to go tell someone? There's a big responsibility once you've heard it. Now, the ideal is not to hear it. Listen, I don't even want to hear that. But if you do hear it, you are made aware of it. You have responsibility. What am I going to do with this information now? What am I going to do? Am I going to gossip? Am I going to slander? For it is disgraceful to even speak, gossip or slander, of the things which are done in secret. There are many ways of whispering against another, throwing doubt on their character. This has always been a tactic of Satan. From the garden, people, where he subtly impugned the character of God. Right from the very beginning. He just subtly put into her, well, now God said you can't eat of anything in this tree. Da, da, da. And the way he worded what God, and if she had been on the ball, she said, no, that isn't what he said. But she didn't. She listened to the way he worded it. Boy, the tongue is just so powerful. It's so powerful. And we all have one. You better know how to use it as unto the Lord. Okay. Then, in the speeches, Job's three friends, all through Scripture, the tongue has been a powerful weapon. So let's take a look now. The tongue is a powerful and destructive weapon. Let's just note a few things about slander and gossip. I don't want to deal with just gossip and slander. We'll just deal with both of these and then move on in the study. Point one. There are three classifications of sins. First of all, there's mental sins. Pride, jealousy, hatred, bitterness, guilt, shame, so on. Most Christians don't count these sins when they consider sins. Those don't count. Nobody knows it. Hadn't done any harm. Oh, yes, it has. Pride, arrogance, jealousy, hatred, all these things may not do any harm overtly, but they've harmed your relationship with God because they're sins. So they've taken you out of fellowship. Don't think they haven't done any harm. Now, if you feed them, if you impregnate them, now you're going to go to others, like verbal sins, sins of the tongue, like gossip, maligning, slandering, judging, lying, talking back to authority, on and on and on. Or it can go into overt sins, like murder that we've already seen, sexual sins, stealing, drunkenness, drug addiction, on and on and on. All the overt categories of sins. So those are the three categories of sins. Point two. All sins of all three categories comes once we make a decision to stop walking by faith in the Holy Spirit. That's the first decision you make. To walk in the flesh. These are products of the flesh nature. So you're walking along in faith. The moment you decide not to, everything that comes out is going to be sin. Now, some are more prominent sin, but even human good is totally opposed to the plan of God. So, if you want to get back into the filling of the Spirit, what do? Do you stop doing those things? It's not enough. You start walking by faith in the Holy Spirit. So, this becomes a great issue, walking by faith. All right, point three. Well, these products are the flesh nature. Now, point three. Three of the seven sins that God hates, and we studied those a couple of weeks ago. Three are verbal sins in Proverbs 6, 16 through 19. Verse 17, a lying tongue. Verse 19, a false witness who utters lies. And also in verse 19, one who spreads strife among believers. All three. Three of the seven of the sins of that are abomination to God, that God hates, in Proverbs 6, 16 through 19, are from your tongue. Just pray that here and on the internet and disc and whatever, parents, teach your children how to use their tongue. Judging, maligning, being critical of others. All these kinds of things all develop a habit that will be hard to break if it's not taken care of at a young age. Okay, point four. One essential issue about sins of the tongue and Christians. Sins of the tongue result from a need of self-vindication, self-justification, self-promotion, self-gratification. It's always about you. That's why I'm saying, if you take your information that you've learned, can you use it to mend? Oh, I don't get anything out of that. People got to know I know this. And I'm responsible to God. I got to go take care of this. I've got to be the protector of God's righteousness. I've got to protect holiness. I've got to do this. It's all about me. They often use themselves as protectors or defenders of the righteousness of God, the holiness of God. This is their justification. In this respect, they are just like their father, the devil. See, I've got to protect God's holiness. I've got to protect God's purity. Who made you the Gestapo for God's holiness? What makes you think you can protect God's holiness by tearing down another believer? Where'd you get that idea? You got it from your father. Got it from your father, the devil. Satan himself as a defender sees himself as a defender of the law, of the God's holiness, people. He sees himself as a defender of the holiness of God. Now, where did he get that idea? I could have put it on the board, but sometimes I want you to see things in your own Bible. Please look at Ezekiel 28. Ezekiel 28. Well, let's see. Just a moment. It's not 16. Yes. Yes, it is. Okay. Verse 16. Ezekiel 28:16. This is the fall of Satan. The original fall before the second universe, before the one that includes us. By the abundance of your trade, you were internally filled with violence. Now, by the abundance of his trade, that's by the abundance of the wonders that God gave him. Satan, Lucifer was the epitome of God's creation. He was the seal of perfection of God's creation. And you sinned. So he's filled with violence, it's his arrogance, you sinned. Therefore, I have cast you as profane from the mountain of God. I have destroyed you, O covering cherub. Now, covering means guarding. Doesn't mean covering. I don't know why they did that here. Guardian cherub. From the midst of the stones of fire. He was the guardian angel. After the fall, his name was changed from Lucifer to Satan. Lucifer, light, shining one, to Satan, slander. And after his fall, he kept this attitude that he was to guard the holiness of God. People, this is the way he operates. Why do you think he goes and accuses believers? He's saying, God, watch me. God, you cannot save or use this person because they are unholy. You are holy. If you have anything to do with them, you mar your holiness. You cease to be God. See what he's doing? He's protecting God's holiness and using it against God. Nothing you can do, God. And that's why people slander. Oh, God, you can't do this with this person now. They've sinned, and I'm going to tell everybody, and we've got to get this straightened out. You've got to set them aside. You've got to do this and that. Got to protect your holiness, God. See, Satan doesn't know about the love of God. Doesn't know about the mercy of God. He doesn't understand it, and he hates it. We often think about how Satan hates the grace of God. He hates the love of God. He cannot understand that love. And he hates it and resents it. So this is what he does. And as far part of his plan. Therefore, it is a characteristic of Satan to attack, slander, malign believers who sin. And he does it before God. So we do it before each other. We go and tell people, either secretly, whisper, or openly slander. He does it before God. Look at Revelation. I want you to see it. I could have put it on the board. Again, Revelation 12, please. Revelation 12. I want you to read verse 10 with me. Now, chapter 12 of Revelation brings on the two great characters in the battle. Jesus Christ and the dragon. Verse 10, and I heard a loud voice in heaven saying, now the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Christ have come. For the accuser of our brethren has been thrown down, who accuses them before our God, day and night. Now, maybe you do things at night because people can't see you do those things at night. Satan sees, and he rushes topside, and he accuses before God. And what is his purpose, people? What's his objective? God, Look what that believer's done. You can't use them anymore. You can't save them anymore. You can't do this anymore. They have sinned. People, remember, whatever he accuses at the throne of God, it's not a lie. We may lie. I love Matlock because his clients never are guilty. Rarely. But they're always innocent. And he proves who did the murder. People, Satan doesn't lie up there because angels can look. They know. If he went up and said, oh, this person murdered that person, and they didn't do it, they, hey, wait a minute, time out. God doesn't even have to say anything. The angels know better. So when he goes topside, you have sinned. If he brings your name, you've done it. Jesus Christ's defense is not Matlock's defense. Matlock's defense is, no, my client didn't do it. Jesus Christ's defense is, paid for. Case closed. That's beautiful. That's why you don't have to open your mouth. If you know anything about a lawyer, you don't talk. That's why you get a lawyer you can trust and you keep your mouth shut. It's the whole thing about a lawyer. If you can't trust your lawyer, then get you another one. But if you've got a lawyer and you're paying him money, you're paying him to speak. You shut up. I remember one Matlock said, and so the judge had him put duct tape over his mouth or something over his mouth. Couldn't talk. You just don't talk. And you know what his defense is? Paid for. Paid for. Case closed. It's over. Satan hates that. So why does he slander? And why does he go before? So God cannot use you. Why do Christians do that? So God cannot use you. Okay, let's go to point five. Point five. Therefore, when believers malign, slander, gossip, they're doing the work of Satan. Not of God. Not what Jesus Christ did on the cross. One word that is important is that it is their duty or their responsibility. It's my duty to tell you this. It's my responsibility to warn you that you know these things. They might even ask, oh, I don't like doing this, but it's my duty. Keep themselves pure. Keep themselves right. People, you don't have to tell everything you know to keep yourself pure before God. You just go to God. Take it to Him. And if you see need, you go to the one person that you know things about. And in the process, they do the work of Satan. And they generally commit far worse sins than those who they're maligning for whatever they did. Damage is going to be far worse. Far worse. That isn't their thought process. Their thought process is just to hurt another believer. Self-righteous people see it as their duty to destroy other believers whose sins offend them. And especially if they have something against that person. Pharisees sought to destroy Jesus Christ. The religious crowd sought to destroy Paul and the other disciples. Self-righteousness always is involved in sins of the tongue. I don't do these things, so I can talk about them. I would never think of doing that, so I can talk about it. Legalism is a strong motivator for sins of the tongue. That's why legalism is one of the worst things that you can have happen to your children. I mean, it's one of the worst things that can happen. It's worse than maybe even a pattern like of lying, because legalism, they think they're right before God. Lying, we know, is wrong. But you get into legalism, and it gets embedded in your system. This is right. This is of God. You want to nip legalism. Jealousy and hatred are strong motivators of the sins of the tongue. Revenge is a strong motivator of sins of the tongue. Restoration and spiritual love are never motivators of sins of the tongue. Restoration, spiritual love, to restore one another, never the motivation of sins of the tongue. Point 0.5. Ah, it's 0.6. It's 0.6. Excuse me. That should be 6 up there, but I can't correct it now. It is neither the duty nor prerogative of a believer to assume the role and function of Jesus Christ as judge. We're studying right now on Tuesday night, judgment seat of Jesus Christ. The judgment seat of Christ. People, every one of you, this is going to happen. You may leave here and run a red light. There's no guarantee you're going to get caught or anything. But let me tell you something. Every one of us will stand before Jesus Christ to evaluate our life. You can count on it. You're not going to avoid it. And you can't blame your husband or your wife or your parents or the preacher or anyone else. You will stand there individually. It's a powerful study. Should influence our life. And he's going to evaluate as to what is good and the New American says bad. It's not bad. It's worthless. What's good or worthless? It may be you gave money, sang, did this, did that, witnessed, preached, did all these things out of the power of the Spirit. Good's in the power of the Spirit. Worthless is anything done in the flesh. You will stand before the judgment seat of Christ. So, he is the one who will evaluate, not us. And every time you take it upon yourself to become the judge of someone else, you have assumed the prerogative of Christ. I'm his representative. No, not in that way you're not. He's given you things to represent him for, yes, and that's the greater works. Bring Gentiles into the kingdom. Restore, be an ambassador for Christ. To restore a believer. To grow in the knowledge of Christ, but not to be judge. Not to be judge of others. Point 7. The travesty of sins of the tongue are that they are the very opposite of what we ought to do and what we will do in spiritual love. What we will do. The opposite of what spiritual love does. Galatians 6:1. Let's take a look. Galatians 6:1. We're walking through. This is vital stuff. What do I do with information? I didn't want this information. What do I do with information that I have? Brethren, as believers, even if a man, that's another believer, is caught in any, I don't like that word any, maybe little things like jumping in line in front of somebody in line at the store or have 24 items in a 19-item line, I can let these things go, but this any? Those are big things to me. Hey, you got 2 more than you ought to have. All right. In any trespass, any trespass. Brethren, if a man is caught in any trespass, you who are spiritual, go and tell the assembly, report it to everyone you can. Doesn't say that. What it says, in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore. Restore such a one. You go to them in private. And if there is any hope at all at restoring, you restore. Since it's public news on paper and everywhere else, I still wonder about the man. Not a wonder, I know. Jimmy Swaggart, who has Gospel of Salvation 1 down correctly, his eschatology is good. But the man spied. The man that brought him down followed him with a camera. He had one intention in mind, to bring this man down, to destroy him. And he did. Because believers got to do that. They don't know how to restore, so we got to bring him down. I wonder what his intent would have been had he had gone to Jimmy Swaggart and said, you know, it came to my knowledge. I don't have to tell you why. Man, you're too important. Your gospel's too real. Your singing's too powerful. Let me help you. Let's see if we can get this straightened out where nobody else knows but you and I. I wonder what would have happened in history to that man as well as the minister. But no, he had one intent. His intent was to bring him down. That was his intent. What should we do? We're studying on Tuesday night. We're looking, Wednesday night. We're looking right now at the two sides of spiritual love. Two sides of spiritual love. One side of spiritual love, we have many passages on how we are to deal with one another. That's one side of spiritual love. But right now, this very week, we're looking at the other side. And let me tell you what the other side is, people. The other side of spiritual love is tough love. Only it's not tough to the object of the love. It's tough to the one who loves. Because this is the side where you restore. This is the side where you treat in kindness. See, most people want tough love. I got to treat you in a tough manner. Spiritual love, tough side of spiritual love is on the one who does the loving. It's tough to treat them in kindness. It's tough just to go and to restore in secret and in private. It's tough because you don't get any praise. And everybody doesn't get to know how horrible that person is in your opinion. That's tough love. Tough love is loving like Christ loved. Tough love is where you go to the cross and not the person, not the sinner. That's tough love, people. You understand that? What is tough love from God's view? Tough love is when Christ went to the cross for us. It's tough on Him. That's tough love from the divine perspective. It's the two sides of spiritual love. So, here, brethren, even if a man is caught in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, looking to yourself, lest you too be tempted. What does that mean? Lest you be tempted to judge and treat them harshly. Be self-righteous about it. Vindictive about it. So this is what we're to do. So the travesty of the gossip and the slander is that it is the opposite of what we ought to do. Look with me at 2 Corinthians, please. Just keep turning over a couple of books, or go back a couple of books to 2 Corinthians. Chapter 2. Second Corinthians chapter 2, the second letter written to the Corinthians. This is about an incestuous believer. Sufficient such for such a one is this punishment which was inflicted by the majority of the people in the assembly. So that on the contrary, I'm sorry, what verse? Verse 6. Sufficient for such a one is this punishment which was inflicted by the majority, so that on the contrary, you should rather forgive and comfort. What do you mean? Look what he did. The guy was an incest. He doesn't deserve our kindness. He doesn't deserve comfort. It's tough. From the God's view, who's tough love on? Tough love's on the one who does the loving. Not on the one loved. Look what it says. Rather, forgive and comfort him, lest somehow such a one be overwhelmed by excessive sorrow. How do we do this? This is spiritual love. Look at verse 8. Wherefore I urge you to reaffirm your love for him. Spiritual love. Reaffirm my love? Hey, I don't even want to be near this guy. I don't want him in our church. I want him out. I don't care about restoring. Look what he's done. Look what he'll do to our reputation of our assembly. See, it's always you. It's always you. Christ died on the cross for me. Christ died on the cross for you, individually, that we might be restored to God. One more passage. Look at Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 12. Christians are so powerful when it comes to wanting to discipline and wanting to straighten people out in things. But there are very few passages that deal with that, this whole deal, discipline. There's a whole lot of passages on judge not. All right, Hebrews chapter 12, let's look at verses 12 and 13. Therefore, strengthen the hands that are weak, that's the one who sinned, and the knees that are feeble, and make straight paths for your feet, so that the limb which is lame may not be put out of joint, but rather be healed. So what do you intend to do with your gossip, your maligning? It's always to hurt. To hurt. Okay, let's go to point 8. While the slanderer and the gossiper, the maligner, seeks after righteousness for his justification, at the cross, Jesus Christ sought after love. He was motivated by his love. And this is what we should seek after. But the slanderer, the gossiper, the maligner do not like this. It seems to let those get off with something. Let those get away with something. Get away with their sin. And it doesn't exalt them. Doesn't keep them pure. Okay, let's note a few things. Let's start off with Proverbs. And I'm sorry, I could have put these on the board, but there are just some things I want you to see in your own text. Look at Proverbs chapter 10. Look at Proverbs chapter 10. Proverbs 10. Verse 12. Proverbs 10, verse 12. Hatred stirs up strife. All right, got a mental attitude, sin, hate. You can see how you can cause strife between some friends, at church, at work, your family. Oh boy, family. You get several kids, mother and dad, and there's going to be one that's going to be prone to this. Hatred stirs up strife, but look what it says. But love covers all transgressions. Oh, I don't know if I like that. Let's look at chapter 17, verse 9. He who covers a transgression seeks love, spiritual love. But he who repeats a matter separates intimate friends. Well, aren't you just powerful? Boy, aren't you just really strong? You separated some friends. You separated a married couple. You split a church. Boy, you're just really wonderful, aren't you? No, can you mend? Can you build? Can you use the junk you know to mend? He who covers a transgression. See, well, if you cover it, that lets them get away with it. They're getting away with it. No, that's not what it's saying. He who repeats a matter, gossip, slander, separates intimate friends. Okay, let's go from the Proverbs. Let's take a look at James. Let's go to the New Testament. See how this looks in the New Testament. Let's go to James. If you found Hebrews, you can find James. It's right after Hebrews. So you have no excuse for not being able to find James if you found Hebrews. Now, if you didn't find Hebrews, go to the table content. James chapter 5. James 5, verse 20. Let him know that he who turns a sinner from the error of his way will save or deliver his soul from death. This is temporal spiritual death. And will cover a multitude of sins. Doesn't go in gossip, doesn't go in slander. He goes and restores. Covers the sin. What good is it to repeat the sin? Doesn't do any good at all. Now let's look at 1 Peter 4:8. You're in the next book is 1 Peter, chapter 4, verse 8. And I hope you'll write these down and kind of have them as a trail in your Bible. Put it somewhere in the back of your Bible and just put these verses down as a trail for yourself. 1 Peter 4:8. Above all. Now, people, that means above everything I've been talking about. Above all. Keep fervent in your love, spiritual love, for one another. New commandment. Because love covers a multitude of sins. Well, I don't want them covered. I want everybody to know. I think everybody has a right to know. I'm a newspaper reporter. I'm a Christian. Everybody has a right to know. No. No, they don't. See, in the Old Testament, you had a mercy seat. Inside of the box, the Ark of the Covenant, were the elements of sin. But what covered that is this mercy seat. Mercy. Mercy. Oh, we don't want to show mercy when somebody sins that we don't like. But there's the mercy seat. And on top of the mercy seat was poured the blood. This was picturesque so the Hebrews could see it. The blood covered it. The blood covered the sin. Took care of it. That's what covering means. Okay, one more passage. 1 Corinthians 13. Every one of you ought to know what's in this chapter. 1 Corinthians 13. We'll read just two verses, 5 and 6. Verse 5. Love does not act unbecomingly. It does not seek its own. Is not provoked, does not take into account a wrong done against it, does not rejoice in unrighteousness, but likes to tell everybody about it. No, that's what it says. Doesn't say what I it just say. See, a lot of people assume more than what this verse says. Does not rejoice in unrighteousness. No one rejoices in sin. You hear about a sin of someone else, you don't rejoice in it, but rejoices with the truth. And what is the truth? Christ died for all unrighteousness. And God has made the way of restoration simple and easy. And let's close this morning with a point 9. Why does love cover sins? Why does love cover sins? 1. Because that's what happened on the cross. The love of Christ covered all of our sins. 2, sins are no longer the issue. Why does love cover sins? Sins are no longer the issue. Do you believe they've been paid or not? Well, yeah. No. Do you believe they've been paid or not? And no. Do you believe they've been paid or not? And then 3, restoration of the believer is the issue before God, before man. This is why love covers multitude of sins. So we only got through with 2 of them. We'll try to get a little more done next week. But I just Can't let some of these things pass us by as to what's in this list and the impact of these things that are in the list. Next one is haters of God. What you think about that? Haters of God. Let me give you a little clue to think about. One of the primary motivations for hating God is that I want to be in control. Gets back to our control issue. We want to be in control. And God gets in the way. And we become haters of God. We hate anyone who gets in the way of our control. We hate authority. We resent authority. We resent teachers, policemen, anybody, parents. Because they get in the way of our control. This can happen to unbelievers in context of Romans 1. But it can happen to believers. You can resent, hate God for what He's done. How someone you love died. It was wrong. Should not have happened. What happened financially? What happened in your life? So we become haters of God. It's a very dangerous one. And I don't want to just leave it with the unbeliever who has denied the existence of God. This happens to believers. We lose control. So what happens when you lose control? You can either hate God, or you can trust Him. Let's close in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank You for the time we spent worshiping together in song, giving, prayer, and feasting on the Word. I pray, Father, You'll take the things that we've seen that are in truth, have them first build a foundation in our own individual souls, and then be revealed in our lives by the control of our tongue. Instead of slander and gossip, silence, restoration. Father, pray these things in Christ's name. Amen.